Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the 6102 podcast. I am your host, Brandon Scott. Glad to be with you today. I think that we've had maybe the craziest last week of a news cycle that I can remember, just as far as odd stories. Like, the stories have been really odd. We had the kid stuck in the cave in Thailand, and we'll get to that hopefully in a little bit. I was fascinated by that story. I know everyone was, for the most part, just waiting to see how that was going to play out. And just to be honest with you, I did not think it was going to end up well once the Thai Navy SEAL died trying to help save these guys. I thought, well, if the Navy SEAL died trying to get them oxygen, then what chance do they have of getting out safely with no training, no diving experience? Who knows what kind of physical shape those kids were actually in? I know they were soccer players, but, I mean, you need I feel like you need to be in some kind of shape, and not just any old kind of shape, to be diving through a cave, through a flooded cave. So, fascinating story there, and it's a fortunate, very much a fortunate ending when it comes to the folks that were actually trapped. I mean, obviously an unfortunate ending for the Navy SEAL, but of course he died a hero. He died a hero, and put his life on the line for other people, and you know, you can't help but to at least admire that. But man, today I spent most of the day reading or hearing about Papa John, and I gotta tell you, until last year, I had never given Papa John this much thought. Papa John was just the pizza that just happened to be contracted by my school district when I was in high school. And it was an alternative to whatever was on the Houston Independent School District menu. When you didn't feel like eating whatever was on the menu, you knew you could drop $3 at Papa John's and you'd be straight. Like, that was the extent of my Papa John's knowledge or interest until last year, of course, when he came out. Papa John himself, John Schnatter, came out and blamed the NFL and the player protests on the lagging Papa John sales. Now, and not that we didn't suspect it at the time, because we did, but now we know what he was really saying. We knew he was lying because he said that without citing any kind of empirical evidence, any trend that was tangible or that could really seriously be tied to the protest. Like, there was no actual link or any causal link between their sales and what was going on with the protest. Like, there was none. There was nothing there. And given that he's had so much success and is an actual self-made billionaire, you would think that he would be a little bit smarter than that. But no, and maybe he is. Maybe he just took for granted that the rest of us weren't. But no, I think after today, it seems apparent that he's either dumb or he was just lying. And we know what he really means. Papa John has now resigned as the chairman of the board for Papa John after Forbes reported that Papa John was on the phone calling people the N-word. All right, let's be fair. He didn't actually call anybody the N-word, according to the reports, or at least we don't know that he called anybody the N-word. What we believe based off of the reporting is that he was complaining about another fast food or restaurant figure, you supposedly using the term and never suffering any backlash for it. Like he was making note of this, and given the context of the conversation, which our understanding is that this was designed to avert a crisis, to avoid crisis on how to handle matters of racial sensitivity with the public. Like, that was the purpose of this. And so within that context, he calls or says that someone used the term without suffering any backlash. Hey, yo, look, the only reason to make that point is to say that you're upset about that, or that that you feel like you should have been allowed, that you should be allowed to speak freely or to use the word without repercussions. Like, what other reason would there be to make that point in this context other than to say, man, I wish I could do it too? So there is no real proper context for that. There just isn't. And then on top of it all, you've got, even before him blaming the protest on the lagging sales, now I feel like we know what he really meant. Because if you go back, he doesn't just blame the protest. Like, he is blaming the protest, but what does John Schnatter actually cite as the problem? Like, it's not just the protests themselves. Go back and look at some of the things that he was saying or what the quotes were at that time and what he said the problem was or what he perceived the problem to be. For Papa John, it was a crisis in leadership. Now, we can debate until we're blue in the face whether the NFL has poor leadership. I think many of us would argue that it does, that by and large, or for the most part, he was spot on with that, that the leadership in the NFL is lacking or poor. But that's not what we were talking about here. Or at least we're not talking about poor leadership, I guess, in the same vein, right? And so what did he say back then? That this should have been, this was back in November when the protests were at their height, the president was getting involved, and this thing had become more divisive than it had in the previous year. You know, remember, by that, we're almost 2 years into the anthem protest now. Or is it really even proper to call it the anthem protest? Because they're not actually protesting the anthem itself. I don't know. I don't want to get bogged down in the semantics of that. Maybe it is. But you know what I mean. The anthem, the so-called anthem protest. This is the height of it. And he says that this was an issue with poor leadership and them not basically nipping this thing in the bud well before it got to that point. He thought that they should have stopped it immediately. Immediately. And a lot of people praised him for that. A lot of people who agreed with that point thought it was a good one and thought the same thing and thought that the NFL was showing poor leadership by not addressing this or making sure that this is not what was happening on their watch, that this anthem protest thing did not stand. A lot of people felt that way. I think Papa John took it an extra step to say that his business was being hurt by it. Because honestly, we might link the two, but if you want Papa John's pizza, you're going to eat Papa John's pizza. Regardless of whether they sponsor or regardless of whether they're an NFL sponsor, that's not going to be the deal breaker. You might not watch the NFL, if you're not feeling these anthem protests, if kneeling during the national anthem offends you, you might turn off the NFL. You ain't turning away the pizza that you like. That's just not what it's going to be. That's not what it's about to be at all. It didn't make sense then. It makes much more sense now that he would say such a thing. Where would that even come from? Why would Papa John even say that? Well, because he doesn't have a respect for the people that are participating in this protest, for the people that this protest is supposed to represent or speak to or defend. Right? Right? Like, I think that the latest headlines and the latest development lend some credence to that. Like, I don't know if there's another way to interpret this fairly and objectively. There just isn't. I don't see it. And so if you guys are following this throughout the day, you would have seen the outrage. And I didn't realize this until I read it, but apparently Papa John is on some type of board of directors at the University of Louisville. He's heavily involved with Louisville. And the NAACP in Louisville came out immediately and were like, yo, we got to get rid of this guy. We got to get this guy up out of the paint ASAP. They weren't having it. They weren't here for it. And so what really caught my attention with that, with the whole University of Louisville thing, and I want to make sure that I have, so the NAACP's Louisville branch, they called on him to step down as the University of Louisville trustee or be removed, right? Well, he does that, I believe. I believe he does that even before he stepped down from his position, I want to say. You guys feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. And by the way, the number to call in is 657-383-0001. You can also tweet me at Brandon K. Scott. Someone correct me if I'm wrong, but from what I understand, he stepped down from that board even before he stepped down from the job. Even before he stepped down from the job, okay? And what was the quote? This is what really bothered me. What's the quote from Louisville? And this happens so often when someone wants to either defend or at the very least just be there for the person that's going through the ringer at this point. But the chairman of this board, of the Louisville Board of Trustees, J. David Grissom, this is a quote. I'm reading this off of CBS News. After speaking with John, I'm confident that his comments, while inappropriate, do not reflect his personal beliefs or values. And apparently he added that the board, no one on the board condones racism or insensitive language, regardless of the setting. Wait a minute. So how is it that these comments do not reflect his personal beliefs or values? What do they reflect? What do they reflect? Because this is a very personal comment, right? Right, like he's not talking about a specific person or calling a specific person the N-word, but to use language like that, especially in public, speaks to your personal beliefs or values, right? At the very least, it says that your personal beliefs and values don't prevent you from saying this stuff out in public. Let's go again to what he said, right? Allegedly.
he allegedly said that Colonel Sanders called blacks or used this term. No one said anything. No one got worked up about it. And he didn't say this part from what I understand, but I'm going to go ahead and just project this. It's basically saying, well, if Colonel Sanders said it, well, I can't see. You know, like, I don't want to take him out of context or be unfair, but there's no other reason to really go there or say that. Colonel Sanders called blacks N-words but never faced backlash unless you think it's unfair. I mean, are we going to argue that the context of this comment was that he should have faced backlash? I mean, that would be the appropriate spin, right? But if that be the case, you know better than to use the actual word, because that's not going to go over well. It doesn't even go over well when black people use the N-word in mixed company. Like, we have to censor ourselves. Those of us who use the N-word around each other censor ourselves around white folks just so it's not thought that this word is okay for just anybody and everybody to use. So for him to be this far along in life and to not have that self-awareness is just hard for me to believe. Very, very hard for me to believe. There was also a comment in there about him in his early life in Indiana where he said that people used to drag African Americans from trucks until they died. Yo, Papa John was born in 1961. His earliest memories should be of a very, very exciting time in this country where there was a revolution going on. Like and that's not to say that horrible, terrible things weren't happening in Indiana. I mean, he's basically just a few years younger than my dad, who also grew up in Indiana. My dad has none of these stories. None of those stories. What is he talking about? And again, that's not to say that these things weren't happening at all. That there weren't lynchings, that there wasn't brutal racism. And we all know Indiana's history with the Klan and all of that. But what is he talking about? From USA Today, the reference apparently was meant to show that he found racism deplorable, but the Forbes source, again, it was Forbes that first reported this, the Forbes source said that multiple people on the call were offended. This is all during a conference call, man. He's saying all of this over the phone. Over the phone. Yo, dude, what are you doing? What are you doing? I mean, he's got to either be dumb, which is hard to believe because he's too successful to be that dumb, right? Or he's just got to be completely oblivious. Or, man, just didn't care. Thought he was in a safe space. They had hired this company after all. Probably thought he was in a safe space. What happened? The company dropped him. Said, nah, you know what? This might be a little bit more work than what we're willing to take on. See you later. And kept it moving. But yeah, man, this whole, I don't believe that this reflects his personal values and beliefs. What does it reflect? Like, is there another type of value or belief or another type of thing that this could reflect that would make something that's not as personal? Help me understand. Because I got nothing on that. What does it reflect exactly? 657-383-0001.
at Brandon K. Scott on Twitter. I just want to know, man. I want to know if they've got a better way of explaining, and not just the chairman of the board at University of Louisville. I'm not just getting on it. This happens. We get this off. This does not reflect my personal, and we personally condemn racism. Do you? Do you really? Because otherwise, how do you find yourself here? How do you find yourself in this place? Where not only you said this, but it didn't even occur to you that this might be a bad idea. Didn't even occur to you. So, yeah, man, I'm interested to see what happens with Papa John's from here. I have not read anything yet on the relationship, the business relationship between Papa John's and the NFL, how that's supposed to play. Because what a difference a year makes, right? Like, I think a year ago, most of the pressure and angst was directed toward the players just because the protests had become so widespread and it was just such a polarizing issue for people. But now, between Colin Kaepernick still not having a job, Eric Reed not having a job, Eric Reed is the safety who kneeled with Colin Kaepernick originally, or at least in the very beginning. Originally, it was just Kaepernick by himself, mind you, by himself, just kind of sitting off, not trying to draw any attention to himself, just not trying to be a part of this national anthem. Eric Reed was the first player to actually protest overtly with Kaepernick, and now neither of them are in the league, despite most people thinking that they could serve some kind of purpose. They are good enough to have a roster spot and to compete for a job that pays and plays. So going from there, from where we were a year ago to where we are now, these guys appear to be blackballed from the league. And the NFL has this new anthem policy that they did not consult the union on. The union has filed a grievance, I believe, on this. I'm very interested to see how this turns, what this looks like. How does the NFL recover from this polarizing issue that has divided its fan base, not just with its league, but with each other? I don't even know if we can all watch the games together anymore. As long as we stick to football, right? Which nobody seems to want to do. It seems like your human dignity is at stake here. Football only seems to be but so important now. But yeah, let us all appreciate the comedic irony in Papa John's trying to learn how to deal with a race-related public relations disaster, and in the process, creating a race-related public relations disaster. Congratulations, Papa John. Pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. Before that, the big news was Shady McCoy. I mean, this even made what you might call the front page or the A block. This wasn't just a sports story, but this was just a human interest story, especially given what last year was with the Me Too movement. Now, that dealt more with sexual harassment, but we have all, in the last few years, had a reckoning with how women are treated by men and how they are just devalued in society. And that sort of, I guess, just compounds or just is exacerbated by wealth, fame, and power for athletes. Like the power and the privilege is given to athletes puts women who are already in a bind when it comes to this gender dynamic and when it comes to who's the privileged class and who's not, they're already behind the eight ball. Then they got all these other things working against them when they find themselves going up against really an athlete of any kind, but certainly a high profile like Shaden McCord. So the story goes there that he didn't beat the woman, didn't beat his ex-girlfriend after trying to have her evicted and her things thrown out, but had some goons go do it for him. If true, how sleazy and cowardly is that? And that's not me suggesting that if he was gonna harm this woman, that he should have just done it himself. I'm not suggesting that at all. I think that would have been just as cowardly. But I do feel like this is just like worse and even more offensive in a lot of ways because, I mean, in some of these other situations, like with Ray Rice, we were able to say, okay, that was the heat of the moment, and he overreacted, and he did something regrettable and offensive and awful, but they were going at it. That was in the midst of a confrontation, whereas this guy apparently planned a hit on a woman. Like, that's the lowest of the low. He should be embarrassed. He should be ashamed, obviously, but also just embarrassed. Because how lame is that? To put a hit out on a woman. It doesn't look good for Shaden McCord. All of these are, this is allegedly, he's accused, right? We don't know exactly what his involvement, if any, there is. But where there's smoke, there's fire. The woman says that, or the claim is that it was a home invasion and that whoever it was that invaded the home was asking for very specific items that are very specific in particular to Shaden McCord and this woman's relationship. Things that he personally gave her, right? Things that he had asked for back. Like, this just doesn't look good, dude. Doesn't look good. It also looks really stupid. Really stupid. Like, you have this woman, allegedly have this woman beat. Who you think the number one suspect is going to be? How you plan on escaping that, getting away with that? Doesn't make any sense. I don't trust the NFL to handle it properly. I don't know what the proper handling of it would be, given that they don't handle these things properly. I don't know what proper is for the NFL. So I'll be interested to see that. We only got about 30 seconds left on the program. It's amazing to me how quick 30 minutes goes. This is only the second podcast for me in the last few years, and so I'm still getting used to budgeting the time. Look, I wanted to tell y'all how every last one of y'all who's hating on Kylie Jenner is a real, real hater for your hate. The girl's going to be a billionaire, and y'all can't see past your own failures. To just congratulate her, to be happy for her, let her live her best life. But I ain't got time for that, and I regret it, but I appreciate it.